These microphones are so sensitive that you should just put them out of your mind because you don't have to lean in at all.
Well, I speak loud and clear. It's just when I'm in front of an audience, I can't help but do that.
It is hard to think of Lillian Gish rehearsing since most of us feel she just wonderfully is.
Well, what will I say here?
Before recently receiving the American Film Institute's Life Achievement Award, she did run through things with presenter George Stephen.
Get a captive audience. They go on and on and on. And I want to do that.
Well, they're here. They can't go anywhere. So this is your only chance.
Well, I don't want you to. I want to thank them. I want to be gracious. But I don't want to bore them.
Boredom is completely upstaged by fascination. When Miss Gish discusses a career that seems to have run through the whole history of film and an impressive stretch of 20th century theater. When you started as a stage actress, you said the only lesson you had was speak loud or they'll get another little girl.
True.
Later, you were noted for the polish of your technique. Did you achieve technique simply through experience?
No, I studied it. I found that I was making faces in the camera. I put a mirror on the side of the camera and would watch to see that I didn't make faces.
At age 5, Lillian Gish went on stage, accompanied by her sister Dorothy, for a multi-year stretch of traveling the country in dramatic stock. The girls supported their mother, deserted by her husband, and a host of now-forgotten actors in now-forgotten plays. You said once that in those early days your eyes had to be bigger than your mouth if you were to be an ingenue.
Well, that's what they said in those days. So I went around with my mouth like this. I was afraid to smile too much. Dorothy did have a little mouth, bigger than her, or littler than her eyes. But my mouth was a little wider. But I tried to not show it.
In 1912, Lillian began her film career. She and Dorothy caught the eye of director D.W. Griffith, and the trio dominated the industry as no one was ever to do again.
In the 9 years I was with Mr. Griffith, there was never a script of any kind. Nothing in writing except his name on the check you got once a week. He called out the plot as you stood on in the same room and acted it out. But it was up to you to find the character. He said, I've got enough to think of. You find whatever, the way that character walks, how it sits, the way it moves, and what it does, it's up to you. And that was a great school.
This is what many consider Griffith's masterpiece, the 1915 epic, Birth of a Nation.
She's got that star quality that Noel Coward talked about, which very few people have, and she just exudes warmth and kindness and a kind of genius. She's marvelous without actually knowing it. She's quite unaffected.
Oh, Lillian, look.
Here he is. Hello, darling. Oh, I'm so grateful to come all the way out here, honey.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
There is special pleasure, too, in the approval of one's peers.
I've been so hurt if I wasn't asked.
I want you to be in the camp.
This peer is Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., at the American Film Institute ceremony.
I just told him that I was in love with you from a very small age.
I've known you since you were 10 years old.
Less than that.
And you
were about 12, I think.
Oh, no, you
were 9. I'm galant of it.
It's Lillian Gish.
they've given me a beautiful life, because the people in the theater and film are dear, caring people, and they look after one another. I don't think any other group of people in the world are better at that than actors. Maybe it's because we're childlike. We live in a world of let's pretend.
I do thank you. I do. Oh, if this were only for a life, I could give such thanksgiving for it.
Eva Marie Saint goes from movie star to movie fan in the presence of Lillian Gish.
I never worked with anyone quite like Lillian. Lillian was always the first one there to rehearsal, always the last one to leave, worked so hard, was so conscientious about her work, and really cared about all of us like a wonderful, cozy mother hen.
Awards for Lillian Gish are numerous, but there was a special pleasure when the Ohio Theater celebrated its 56th season this year by honoring this native daughter with a showing of her 1921 film, Orphans of the Storm.
Now, my favorite age was printed in the Seattle newspaper when I was up there doing a play. They said I made my debut in 1842. Now, even on a bad day, I look pretty good.
You probably look at as much silent film as anyone, and you're looking at me without glasses.
Well, I haven't worn glasses in my life. I go once a year and have my eyes examined, but I have never taken out my eyebrows. They protect your eyes, and you mustn't take away anything that is a protection. Don't, you only get this one house to live in, and be careful what you do about it. So, it's a miracle.
The famed Gish fragility is belied by the abounding health of this brisk octogenarian. She is about to appear in her 101st picture.
Why do you suppose it is, after all this adulation and all this success, that you remain a person without vanity?
Well, that's because Brooks Atkinson said that. He put it in print, said that trouble with me was I had no vanity. Well, I don't know. How do we know what our faults are?
Other people tell us about them.
Well, I think vanity is not a fault. Vanity is a privilege and a good trait to have. I hope I have it, because that means that I like to please people, I like to look the way they want me to look, that I don't go around with my hair in rags and all burned up. And
well, now your hair isn't in rags, but I read that you had never cut it. How long is it?
I can sit on it.
Can you sit on it?
I can sit on it.
Can you demonstrate that for me now?
You mean you want me to take it down?
Yes, if you would.
All right. I just, I can do it up on my head, you see. I don't even have to have, I do it up here,
yeah,
too, but I tie it in a knot. But you see, I can sit on it. See, it's...
Yes, oh,
it's
yes.
That just as God made me in the beginning, but I can sit on this.
And your memory is as long as your hair.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Don't you think it holds up pretty well?
Well, the things that have happened to me, so many of them are worthwhile remembering. And I think, if you're going to know about this century, you should know what happened during it and who made it happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Miss Gish, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
take care of me in the dark room. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Stacy.
Thank you.